Amen. Amen. I want to share with you a few things that the Lord has placed on my heart. I know we got a couple of announcements. Let's go to this next one. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock is our School of Prophecy that will be here. If you've already went through one of the classes, it's only $10. If it's your first time coming, it's $40. That just pays for the actual curriculum. And then we not only activate you, but you will be prophesying before the end of the second class. Okay? So just know this, that God is doing a great thing, and we just have to be willing and ready to stir the gifts, move in our gifts, so that God is always glorified in what we do for him. Amen. So that'll be tomorrow at 7 o'clock. This Friday is aliens. Aliens. That's for our youth, our teenagers that are coming. Wednesday nights. This is what I want to share with you. Wednesday nights, what we have decided to do through the Holy Spirit. Wednesday, I came in. I laid before the Lord, and he impressed upon my heart, first of all, to call a church fast. If you're connected to this house, and I am your pastor, there is a church fast. I don't go and do a blanket fast. I tell you to go before God and ask God what you need to fast. What the duration will be is what he's speaking to you directly. So go before the Lord and ask him when to start, when to finish, and what to do. Amen. Wednesday nights, we're going to do soaking and intercession. There will be prophetic declarations, not necessarily prophetic words to individuals. When we began to do soakings in the house of manna, the gifts would move very, very freely. But it began when people started coming so they could get a word. And if you witnessed or if you've seen lately, I pulled that away. There's a reason for it. If you want a word, there's plenty of prophets out in the parking lot. Truth. If you want another prophecy, just go in the restroom. They'll follow you. If you want a prophecy, you can dial it up on the phone. But if you want God's presence and you really want to learn how to worship, get into a place of soaking. Then when he speaks, it's not just for you. It's for what he is doing and what he wants to do. He begins to reveal his heart. Amen. So on Wednesday nights, we're going to begin to do our soakings once again. But if somebody has a prophetic declaration, it will be a declaration out, not to individuals. Amen. We will go into intercession. And when I say intercession, if you don't know how to intercede, you'll learn. You'll learn. Because intercession isn't going through a checklist. That's how you start. But then the Lord will lead you. And as he leads you, you'll find that you're praying for things that you normally wouldn't even think of. Amen. So that's what we're going to be doing on Wednesday nights. So I encourage you to come if you can make it. And I know many people work and stuff. If you can't make it, I understand. But learn to worship and soak in your time. Learn to get into a place of intercession at home. The more you apply these things into your life, you'll begin to see God move in different areas of your life. We have to yield. We have to yield to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Do we understand? Yes? Do we need to stand up and greet and say hello and high five everybody? Should we awake? We good? Y'all want some coffee and donuts? You're like, yeah, we're going to do it at the end. Okay, now that we got that out the way, just share something real quick. Yesterday we had the march, Hope for the East Side. You know, Minister Allen and myself, we were out there at 7:30 setting up. The stage came out. We set up tables and chairs. And then they brought this this food trailer. It's all great. Someone's going to cook for us. I don't got to worry about it. He goes, no, we're just dropping it off at the church. We bought it so that any church event, we could drop it off and people work it. Okay. So I kind of like tiptoed away and just like, I ain't going to say nothing. I'm not going to volunteer. And I kind of looked for Elder Allen. Where was he? And he was already going back to his truck like, oh, no. So they asked Pastor Shatikwa. She's from Nigeria. She says, okay, you're going to oversee this. And she was looking at me like a deer in headlights. I'm going to do what? And she's looking at me like, I don't know any of this. I'm like, oh, God. Oh, God. Okay, here we go. So I get into the trailer. And the gentleman says, okay, well, who's running this? I said, they said she was. And she looked at me like, I said, okay, I'll do it. You don't even have to show me. I know how to do it. No problem. I'll do it. We have 400 hot dogs and chips and drinks. So Here comes Elder. He took off his nice shirt that he was going to use for being out there. He got a towel. He says, well, I figured since they put that there, we're going to be in there, aren't we? I said, yep, me and you. We did 400 hot dogs in 45 minutes. 45 minutes wrapped. Well, we went to town. We went to town. They started the march at 11 o'clock. I had texted them. They left the trailer at 10:15 to go down there. By 11 o'clock, we were ready done before they even started the march. I said, we're ready. So they got down there. As soon as they got down, people were getting hot dogs, getting chips and stuff. Now, we had some volunteers that were helping put chips in sandwich bags. And you know how you have to wear those gloves, sanitary gloves? Okay, they were working so fast, they worked right through the sanitary gloves, and they didn't even know. They just kept on. I said, how many bags you making? We're making 300 bags. We got, and I looked at their fingers, and the gloves were torn apart. And they just kept on going. They just kept on going. I said, there's something wrong with that picture. Like, we didn't even know. We just kept on going. I was like, Lord, that's when you know you're determined. That you don't even know something's wrong. You just keep on keeping on. So it was such a blessing. We had prayed for so many people. I had people walking. I said, hey, how you doing? What happened to your foot? Let me pray for you. Okay. Pray for a lot of people. A lot. Psalmist 8. I said, Asia, if it's hot, go inside. She goes, oh, no, my back. And so then I didn't see Asia no more. And I said, where's Asia? She's over there praying for people over there by the trailer. She was working it. So you know what, guys? I encourage you, get involved with the Bridging the Gap marches and outreaching, because what we're doing is reaching the city, and what we're doing is praying for people and showing love. There wasn't a whole big old group of thousands of people, but the little people that we had finished all 400 hot dogs. All 400 hot dogs. I don't know how many cases of water we went through. I think they only took about a case back with them. But they were blessed. They kept coming back, and coming back. And they weren't like just storing. They were like pastor, you know, just enlarging tents. You know? You could see it on their face. It was such a blessing, was it not? You could just see them just smiling. They were blessed by it. So I encourage you, get involved. Let's get outside of the four walls and let's make a difference out in the streets. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, with that being said, I want to share something with you what the Lord has put in my heart. Before I go to the next slide, before I start what I'm going to start, I preface this at the beginning. If you're religious, you know the Bible thumper ones. You know the one. See a Bible, sir? I'm not saying he is. I'm just giving an example. It sure is. I got my sword. No, you got a big old rock. He is the rock. Okay, nope. No wonder why your arms are so big, Daniel. Dang. All right, look. Now, if you're a Bible thumper and everything that you do is only based upon what you read, and you want to put it on somebody else, but you're not applying it to yourself, that's how you're a religious person. Because you look for ammunition to put on somebody else as opposed to taking it for yourself. The Bible is a mirror reflection of who you are and how to get cleansed from the thing that you see. But many of us, when we behold our image in a mirror, we look beyond ourselves. We look who's behind us. Who's in our frame? Oh, that individual, this word I got right, it's not for me, it's for that one. I heard that, Lord. Yes, Lord, yeah. Yeah, it is for them. It's for them. Because I remember last time when sister came in, she wore that real short miniskirt, and she had nice legs, and everybody was looking at her. Yeah, she's the one causing. But you didn't bother to look yourself that you had that low. It was the V-neck that went all the way to the navel. But you're quick to look at the skirt. But did you see what I mean? The Bible thumpers always carry something so they can say. But a real relational person with Jesus, they look at self first. And they see what God sees first. Because if you're looking for a perfect church, you ain't in this church. And it is not this church. If you're looking for a perfect pastor, this ain't the one. Mm-mm. If you're looking for the perfect place to worship, because you got to feel safe, because you know that the man of God is perfect. This ain't it.
No.
If you're looking for a place to get to that everybody wears halos, this isn't the place. No, no. If you're looking for a place that has no spot or wrinkle, it's not here. But my question is it anywhere?
No.
Thank you. Thank you. With that being said, is my disclaimer. My disclaimer is you came to a rated R church. It's relevant, it's real, and raw.
Cinderella cut it up one time.
I know you weren't saved. I knew you weren't saved. I knew it. Look at y'all heard it.
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
I know y'all got religious ones.
Let's talk about sex.
Let's talk about sex for now. To the people at home or in the crowd. It keeps coming up anyhow. Don't be coy, avoid, or make void the topic. Cause that ain't gonna stop it. Now we talk about sex on the radio. And video show. Many will know anything goes. Let's tell it like
goes.
It is and how it could be. How it was and of course how it should be. Those who think it's dirty have a choice. Pick up the needle, press pause, or turn the radio off. Will that stop us, Pep? Alright then, come on, spin.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and Wendy. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things.
Alright now, look. Did we ID everybody coming in? We made sure they were of age. Just making sure. Hey, did we get the cover charge at the door? Cover charge? You're like, yeah, Pastor, you took up our tithes. If you'd have played this first, I wouldn't have sewn into this fleshy church. It's flesh. Ain't nothing but flesh in here. Yeah, that's why you're here. We're going to die of it today. You're like, Pastor, it's going to be a fun sermon. No, it ain't. It ain't. You're like, dang, can we just play the song? All right, look. Romans. Psalms 106. Woo, when in Rome, do as Romans. No. Psalms 106:3. This has been in my spirit for a while. I want to preface why these messages have been coming. There is about to be a very strong move of God. Very strong. But over the course of history, when I read about the revivals that took place, something always quenched the move of God. Always. And it's usually by man's hand. God has desired to pour his spirit to begin to move in a dispensation that we can say, that is God. But there's some things that stop the move of God, especially stop it before it even happens. How many of you begin to start doing great things for the Lord? You've purposed to get into your word. You're doing a reading plan on the Bible plan. You're doing a devotional. You're spending time in prayer. And then doesn't it seem like all hell breaks loose? You've been there? You just purpose to do it. And all of a sudden things just start happening, right? It's like, I'm just reading the word and then just praying. And now everything's falling apart. Well, it's because you're trying to get filled even more of him. And the enemy knows that. So if he can get you so just caught up with things in your life, he'll stop it. Because you'll stop it. So when the move of God begins to happen, many prophets are declaring it right now, there's going to be something very powerful coming. Very strong. We don't know if it's going to be calamity. We don't know if it's just going to be a love action that's going to take place in the atmosphere. But when I read in history in the Bible, it shows me that every time there is war, whew, every time there's war before the restoration of the people, there is war before people get back into their position. There is war before people return back to their land. Now, I'm not telling you there's going to be World War 1800 or something like that. I'm just telling you that there is a war that is ensuing right now. And it's in the spiritual realm. But we have gotten so lackadaisical in church that we feel like I've done my due. I got to church. I read the word and I'm through. I went and I gave my 10%. So I'm through. There is so much more. So much more. And the war that is going on right now is causing many Christians today, born again, spirit-filled Christians, and that goes across every denomination, that are falling away. They're falling away from church. Why is that? Well, I began this series talking about the falling away. The falling away is because it's not that they're going to other gods, because a Christian that knows God is not going to go turn to another god. They're falling away because they haven't seen God demonstrate. Well, it's all happening over there in Africa. It's happening over there in Germany. It's happening in Australia. But what is happening here? Do you see what I mean? And they're tired. People are giving up on staying steadfast on the things of God. And it's much easier to just fall into your own temptations. So you can fall away from church so much easier just because God hasn't demonstrated. And I'm trying to get across in the atmosphere that we, the church as a whole, need to get into position. And God is not bringing us into position to be Bible thumpers. We've had that movement. We've had that. All these people getting saved because they're reminding them of their sin. Have you ever lied before? Okay, you're going to hell. Stop filling hell up. How about emptying hell? Getting them into heaven and getting them into the kingdom which is at hand. By telling them how that they are coming against the very will of God by doing their own desires as opposed to his desires. So that we can grab those that have fallen and lift them back up, back into position. So that they can do what God has called the people to do. Do you believe it? Haven't you seen people fall away? Isn't it harder to minister to one that knows the word? You know, you go up to them and say, and they're going to look at you like, don't give me another verse. I'll quote it to you backwards. I've been serving for 15, 18, 20 years. But I'm tired of not seeing things come manifest. I'm tired of praying and praying and not see anything, no results. And what are you going to tell me that's in that word that I don't already know? What they want to see is demonstration. And I believe we as a church as a whole, we want demonstration. Where is the God of Elijah that can call down fire from heaven and bring down all these false deities and false prophets? Where is the God of Elijah? The great falling away is taking place because many are tired of continuing on. One of the temptations that we know of is sex. Sex. How many of you know right now in San Antonio, there is so much sex trafficking going on here in San Antonio? Do you know it? Or you're just saying, because I don't want pastor to call me. How about you? Here? Yes. A lot of sex trafficking going on. Here's the thing. Sex trafficking wouldn't be taking place if there wasn't a desire for it. You understand? You don't have to push it. Because they desire it. A drug pusher? He don't have to push the drug when someone's already addicted. He just dangles it. Here it is. You want it? You can come get it. So there is a desire in this atmosphere right now, all across the land, all across the world, of sexual immorality. sexual perversion and sexual dominance. And what has taken place is many that have fallen prey to it because they don't have that authority that is speaking into their lives, saying who they really are and how blessed they really are. And they're looking for other means to feel welcomed or to feel accepted, that they'll go out into the streets and try to find acceptance and love, which isn't true. And it's much easier to grab a hold of someone and put them in that very thing that they desired not to do. It's to become a sex slave. Sex is one of the driving forces in America today. Look at the industry of pornography. It is a $1 billion industry. Why? When America is known to be known as a Christian nation. And the fact of the matter is, the churches today are falling so far into pornography in the actual church that they hide it under the grace. They hide it under the blood. You need to turn from it. You are opening doors, not this church, because I see the halos. I see them. Tilted, but they're there. We open doors and we don't know how to shut them because we think it's innocent. And when you open up a door, you're not opening it up to just one particular spirit to come in. If I was to open the back door right now, because we have a restaurant right next to us, and anytime your business is next to a restaurant, you will always have trouble with insects. If I open that back door and leave it open throughout this service, this sanctuary will be filled with nothing but flies. Isn't that nasty? So why are you opening the doors knowing there's some filth out there, leaving them open and saying, oh, they're not coming in here because I'm covered by the blood? Oh, they're going to come because you opened the door. And we've got to be careful. Sexual perversion continues to make the church fall away. When we will have men and women of God stand at the pulpit and say that it is okay for the same sex to marry. That is not in the word of God. And when you make the pastors feel like they have to oblige because they don't want to be considered the ones coming against homosexuality, I'm not coming against it. If that's your choice, that's your choice. But you're not going to make me feel bad about doing something and make me feel guilty because I won't do what you want me to do. You don't own me. You don't own me. You don't tell me how to govern what God has told me to govern. Okay, y'all looking at me, Pastor, why are you going there? I'm just giving you examples. Okay. Because what happens is we feel like we've got to be the loving church. God bless you. I know. We love you, sister. You and sister. And then we don't want to offend. We don't want to talk about the issue. I've always told my wife that if anybody comes in that have homosexual tendency or they're gay, they're lesbian, I don't care. Come in. I love them. You want them in church. But I'm not going to tell them, you got to change. You point your finger at me, you're going to get something pointed back at you. May not be a finger, maybe two, but I'm just saying because, you know, I'm from the streets. So. But you don't go, that's not how you win people to Christ. What you do is put them in a situation where the Holy Spirit can begin to work within the heart, begin to bring that mirror that they can see of themselves and see where the root has started. Do you understand? Identity has been challenged. The moral decay of the church, not the nation, the church. We have gay and lesbian churches popping up everywhere and people getting mad. Here's my thought. I'm not your perfect pastor. Your religious mindset is probably going to tell you to get up and walk out. If you have the Bible, and you have praise and worship, And the Spirit of God begins to move. Where a lot of people say, no, Spirit of God ain't going to move in that kind of church. It just takes one to say, I know there's something more out there for me. And I know there's something wrong. Speak to me in that very atmosphere. Something can begin to happen. I'm not coming against the alternative lifestyle because they're God's children. They are. God doesn't make mistakes. Bruce Jenner. Okay. Somebody needs to help me because it's... Since it slipped purposely... Here we are in the day and age where many are calling what he did heroic. To be called a hero is you give your life for other lives. So I can see how they want to apply that to that. I can see how many would say, you're a hero for standing up. There was a platform. Here's what I'm getting at. You think that the only platform that we have for God is here. But the platform that the enemy is using is the same platform that God has been using. But what has happened is because of the moral decay of networks allowing so much be broadcast out there for so long, calling it reality TV, when it's all scripted and made up, you've made these stars out of nothing. Before, keeping up with the Kardashians? Kardashian. How many of you remembered Bruce Jenner? Unless you're of age to remember the Wheaties box of Bruce Jenner on it, you wouldn't hear anything about Bruce Jenner. What happened is that there was a platform being built by the enemy to get people so caught up on the TV to watch lifestyles of people that they would feel like they want to be a part of. And all of a sudden, here it came. Little by little. You think the enemy is just going to blatantly put it out there? No, it's over the course of time where you begin to accept what is put before you and you no longer question it. You continue watching it. Oh, that's interesting. I meet up with a guy married. Look, they're going to have a baby. And that boy doesn't do nothing. All he does is stay home. He's just cheap and drink. He's always drunk. Is that who? Which one is that one? You see? Proof is in the pudding. Y'all been watching it. Right? He said, Scott. Because you've been watching it. Y'all been watching it. Oh, what about this one that just came out? Y'all don't know about it? Oh, what? The Duggars? Oh, someone like, I don't watch that one. There's too many kids. I don't watch that one. But what happened? Okay, watch. All right. Hold on. Christian family. Something happened. They dealt with it. Took care of it in 2006. They dealt with it at home. They dealt with it. Now it comes out. He's gone through his repentance with the church, the family, and the families affected. Now watch what the church is doing now. Now the church is coming against it. And then they asked the Duggars, well, wait a minute, how come you didn't go to plead? Because we dealt with this in the family. And we dealt with the families affected. And we dealt with our son the way we would deal with our sons. Here's what happened. How come the church isn't coming to persecute, what's her name or his name now? Caitlyn Jenner. But everybody's watching that, and his picture, or her picture, is on every magazine, on every aisle, on everything. Do you see what I mean? What has been morally accepted now should have never been accepted. Ever. God doesn't make a mistake. Oh, I feel like I'm trapped in a woman's body. God just didn't do it right. God doesn't make a mistake. He doesn't make a mistake. You have obviously been around some sort of rejection in your life that you've been looking for acceptance somewhere. Something must have framed his life. I don't know his history. I don't know. And this isn't an attack on him. This is an attack on individuals. This is what the Spirit is doing, infiltrating into the houses of America and into the airwaves of television and radio. We once before would never hear the B word on the radio. And now we see it on TV. We see it, hear it on the radio. And all that is invoking a spirit over the airwaves of women just submitting to sexual sin. As dogs. Music today. Today. Shoot. Some of y'all are going to get mad at me because I know if I go in there to y'all's cars right now and I just turn on the radio. Mm-hmm. Don't let Pastor walk by you as soon as you turn the car on, right? Yeah. Got Caleb. Got the Word Network on set. What's the one on satellite? Kirk Franklin Praise. You know, we got that. Look, what I'm just telling you is that I'm not coming against music, but what you're listening to will begin to influence you. It will influence you. You don't think it influences you. I heard that whoever you are in here, shame on you. How many tickets have you gotten because you were listening to that song that made you drive 10 miles faster over the speed limit. Ten speed bike? The pedal, real fast. All right, listen. Because music changes and alters your mood, right? So the enemy knows how to get into the airways and begin to do some things to manipulate your actions. That's what it's about. I know when y'all go work out in the gym and you do Zumba. You usually do that to Kenny G, right? The Kenny G songs, Zumba's Kenny G song. See, because, you know, it's uplifting, you know, and it gets you motivated, right? It's Kenny G. So you're like, who's that? Find me a Kenny G. David, find me a Kenny G. Okay, now look. And I haven't even read one scripture yet. Oh, my God. Here's the thing. All kinds of influences are out there right now. Don't even let me start on the shorts.
Yeah, talk about it.
Well, let's talk about sex, baby. See, that gets me pumped up. I'm ready to go work out. That's baby face of Kenny G. Come on, look. I think I made my point. Now, Melissa. You do Zumba to that one, don't you? Yeah. Hello? Okay, now what? Island flavor. What's the mood now? Huh? That was the mood. What's the mood now? Huh? All right, now look, let's shoot. Some of y'all are like, man, church was good today, honey. Where y'all want to go eat now? I'm buying, shoot. All right, now listen. Y'all, stop it. See, I told you, if you're looking for a perfect church, this ain't the one. But if you're looking for the rated R church, this is the one. Raw, relative, and real. The atmosphere changes to what you're listening to, what you're putting your attention to. And if you're not careful, that's how the enemy will come in and infiltrate. Okay? You can set the mood or the tone in the spirit by what you choose. Let's go on back with the lights. Watch it, guys. Watch it, guys. Now, here's Revelation 22:12. Revelation 22:12. Go to the next slide and it'll show the. This is Psalm 106:3. Blessed are those who are justly, who always do what is right. That's you guys. Y'all always do what is right. I'm declaring it over you. Next slide. These are the scripture references that you can write down and keep with you. Revelation 22:12-17. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. There is, in this atmosphere in today's society, that many people are saying, are we in the end times? There are so many things that are going on that begin to lead us to believe we're in the end times. I would venture to say that we may be at the beginning. For so many centuries, many people were saying, Jesus is coming back. Get it right. Jesus is coming soon. Get it right. 100 years go by. Jesus is coming soon. Get it right. Another 100 years go by. Jesus is coming soon. Here's the thing. Jesus is here now. He's here right now. He is right within us in the very temple that you hold, which is you. You are the church. You are the temple of God. He is here right now. We can be together in one room and begin to invoke the very power of God because we hold him within us. But the truth is, he holds us. He holds us. But we're looking for the great return. He's coming on a cloud. He's coming on a cloud. We are nowhere near the perfect church in this day and age. There's many that are so divided that they don't even want to come together in unity to do the things for the kingdom of God. It's all about their kingdom. It's all about their church. It's all about this. It's all about just them. They're building their own kingdom. I know we're nowhere near it, but are we getting closer? I believe it. That closer can be next week. That closer can be tomorrow. That closer can be years from now. We don't know. What does the Bible clearly state? That no one knows the hour nor the time when he returns. No one. Many are claiming it's coming in June, July. He's coming. He's coming. Okay. Let's take this scenario, if you would. If Jesus is coming on the date that many people believe that he's coming, why are not people running and flooding the altars for repentance? You understand? If Jesus is coming, there is going to be a very strong conviction to have people repent. What is repentance? Not just going and saying, I'm sorry, and then doing it again. Not just going and saying, I'm sorry that I did it this time. Forgive me the next time I'm about to do it. Oh, I'm sorry because you got caught. You know, many people that get put in prison or something, oh, they're very religious now. Some of them do get truly touched by God because of ministries that go in and minister there. And there's others that they use that as a tool to find favor with the justice system. A true repentive person you'll see the fruit in their heart, that they truly turned away from that sin. Okay? Now, Jesus is coming. We've got to make everything straight and make everything right as best that we can. How many of you are going to walk out of here today and say, I'm going to make things right? Got one person? Okay. Amen. Okay. Two. Okay. Three. I think we're getting it now. Okay. We're going to make everything right. How many of those that are waving their hands are still going to stumble and fall? The same ones that rose their hands, right? So that's not saying that you're made perfect today. We're being made perfect. But how are you going to be perfected in the thing that he's called you to do is the question. By loving him, Jesus, truly loving him, that you won't do the things that would come against his word. That's a lot of stuff in there, isn't it? So you can't go grab the grape at HEB and taste it first. You can't go in and go get that donut. Mm-hmm. Can't go in there. Look at here. Look at here. Oh. Oh. You can't be walking around and judging people. Uh-huh. Walk around judging the people. Just, oh, mm-hmm. She ain't making it to heaven. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that judgmental spirit is causing you to sin. Do you see what I mean? We think that being perfect ourselves makes everybody else dirty. Maybe we all dirty. We are all messing up. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. But thank God for a people that are willing to make change. So that when we start talking about sex, we're not doing this thing based upon our own emotions. You know what I mean? Psalms 51, 1 through 12 says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned. That's the key. Verse 4, against you, God, and you only, God, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, God, so that you might be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. The writer of this particular psalm is David. And how would David know to write about this if he had not been in it himself? Do you know when David fell? When he did what? Looked upon the nakedness of a young woman. Looking upon the nakedness, was that the sin? Many would venture to say yes. The Bible clearly states, if you even think it, it's like you've done it. Some of y'all are like, oh, I'm going to hell. Because now what's going on in today's society that is so ever present is that many people are wearing, well, they're not really wearing. It's not really covering. It's exposing. Causing men and women all around the place to begin to like, oh. I delight in you, God. Keep my eyes pure. Close my eye gates. Close my mind from the things that are impure. I take them captive so that I can keep my mind on you. Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, yeah, that's it, Pastor. That's it. Yeah, here's the truth. You don't. Here's the truth. We gaze. We look. Wow. I mean, dang, that's too short. It's just what's happening in society. Because why? It is so blatantly put in front of you. TV, music videos, magazines, everything that is out there. There is a moral decay right now in the United States and the world. Period. We're seeing it. But we don't want to get so caught up with dealing with it that we allow our children to continue wearing it. Because we feel like that's their freedom of expression. That freedom of expression will lead to many things worse than their freedom of expression. We got to be careful. There's many teachers, but very few fathers. Very few fathers that will come in and say, what you're doing is wrong. Now here's what you can do to make things better in your life. And it doesn't always have to be spiritual. Truth of the matter is, cover yourself up, baby. Start thinking of yourself highly. And quit living in Lodabar. Just so that you can get attention. Because the attention you're going to get is not always good. And some of the attention may cause you to be taken from me. There's nothing wrong with telling the truth. It's your child. It's your child. And guess what? As pastors, you're the sheep. We're the shepherd. When we see certain things taking place in the atmosphere of the church, we've got to take notice. Begin to address the spirit behind it. And then if the spirit continues, then you need to address the individual that's allowing the spirit to move in that aspect. That's when you tell them, you've heard the message. You've denied the message. You've denied counsel. Now it's time for me to talk to you as the individual that is now saying it's okay. We have to deal with these things in the right way so we can make a change in the church. When this outpouring is about to take place, I don't know when, but something is stirring in me. Something is stirring in many prophets across the land because something is about to happen that's going to cause droves of people into churches that are going to look for somebody that can tell them truth and what they need to do to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit and how to save their very soul. They're not looking for another message that will tickle the ears, make them feel good for a moment, but they were going to walk out and die out in the streets and be damned to hell because no one said you need to make change. These people are going to come into churches and they need to know that people are there willing to accept them, but to help them make change. We've got to be ready. We've got to be ready. Because if not, this great outpouring will pass us by and it will end again because of flesh. Our personal desires. David had the kingdom. He looked over at a naked woman that was bathing in springtime. And the Bible says at that very moment during the spring is when there is war and men are sent off to war. David should have been on the battlefield, but he didn't go. And here's what I'm saying. Many people are sending their ministers, their elders, and the church folk to go do the thing. But pastors themselves are not going out to the forefront. And they need to stand in the streets with the people and saying, I too have a desire to see people changed. I too have a desire for what is taking place to be on the battlefield. Come out into the battlefield so that when you come back home, people know you're a warrior for Christ. But we have too many people that stand behind the mega churches that don't want to go back out there and go back to where it all started, is getting these people off the streets and helping them make change. They're comfortable with where they're at. And there's many ministries, mega ministries, that will raise up groups and go right out there and send them to do it. And they will financially bless them to go and do it. Maybe they're not the ones that are out there, but their heart is with them. How do you know? Because the spiritual DNA of the Father is on them. And then wherever they go, they say, I know who your Father is just by the way you act, the way you do things, the way you move. I know who your spiritual Father is. The spiritual DNA should always go forth. You understand? I know that we can't see all these big name preachers out there in the streets. Because you know what will happen? Nothing but the church will go out there. Let T.D. Jakes walk out there in the streets. Guess what's going to happen? All the church will go. Mm-hmm. Every outreach that I have witnessed has always been the church folks out in the streets. But the street's not coming. I made a joke the other day and I told some of the ministers out there, some of these pastors, I said, I know how to get people out here. You ain't going to like it. You won't like it. You probably won't want to be my friend. I said, I'm going to get a keg of beer. I'm going to put the tap on there. I'm going to put a sign say free. Guess who's going to come out? The street. Well, that's street ministry. Okay, they started raising their eyebrow like, Hey, bless you, Pastor. Don't call me when you do that one. Well, who are you going to meet? How many times are you going to get people saved? How many times? Brother, I'm going to pray for you because I know you're a minister. I'm going to pray for you. How many times you got to be prayed for? In the street, on an outreach. How many times? How about we get some real folks out there that really want Jesus and that the power of God can walk right up to them and change them? I had a gentleman coming with a blunt. He had that blunt. He was at a distance. I said, you want something to drink? You hungry? And he lifted it up. I said, I want one too. Come on. He looked at me. Yeah, I want one. So he came to me. He said, man, I got this. I know there's a church of him, man. You want one? I said, no, I just want to give you a hot dog and tell you I love you, man. Oh, man, you're so nice. Yeah. Picked up his pants. Watch. Why? Respect. He didn't attack me. He didn't get mad. I didn't throw Jesus on him. I showed Jesus. Yeah. Come. I want one. What did I want? His soul. Yes. So when he came, here's two hot dogs. Here's some chips. This is the truth. We were giving out pork rinds. Pork rinds. I said we were giving out pork rinds. Some of y'all went there already like, hey, pork rinds and beer, huh? Yeah. This brother was walking with his 40. Man, you want something? No, man. I got pork rinds. You got pork rinds. I said, it goes real good with that 40. Come on. Are you serious? Come on. You want one? How he walked up. He put his 40 behind him. Respect. Gave him pork. I gave him two bags and I gave him two hot dogs. Oh, man. God bless you. Lord loves you. That's it. That's how you change people's lives. I pray for more people doing it that way. Then, oh, you need Jesus, brother. Let me pray for you. Break their neck and everything. Wow.
Push them down.
And then the next thing you know, they're walking with the neck brace. What happened? I went to an outreach. What happened? They prayed for me. They broke my neck. All it takes is a genuine touch. Love you. Can I pray for you? Prayed with the guy with the blunt. Some of y'all don't know because y'all are religious in here. I know. You know, it's weed. Hidden in a one of those tobacco things. Okay? So he's smoking it. As he's smoking, I'm praying for him. Lord, touch him. Heal his knee. His knee was hurt. Heal his knee. In the name of Jesus, love on him. God bless you, man. You need anything else to drink? Want to take one to go? That's it. Simple. Do you see what I mean? So then after, as the day goes by, now those same ones like, hey, don't call me when you do that outreach. Hey, Pastor, can I take a picture with you? I said, you want to take a picture with me? Said, yeah, man, I've been watching you. I've been watching you. Boston. He says, I'm seeing you praying for people. I said, that's what we're here to do. He goes, yeah, I know. I don't see pastors that much because your church is on the north side. and you're involved with all these outreaches and all these other parts of the city, I watch you. I want to take a picture with you. And whatever you guys are doing, if I'm not on the road, I'm there. Say amen. Amen. And that brother put on three songs, three worship songs. He sang three worship songs. And Mr. 40 came behind from the trailer where we were at and just watching. See what I mean? All it takes is a little different approach. Now, some of y'all are like, Pastor, are you really going to get a keg? Now the whole church be there. Hey. Different approach. Hey. Listen. It's like, we're token. Woo, token. The ghost. Yeah, new wine. Ooh-wee. Listen. It's that MD 2020. Shame on y'all. Y'all went right to your taste buds. That went right to your taste bud. No, MD 2020 is Mighty Deity Double Grace. Listen, when we go fishing, we've got to use the appropriate lures to get those that are out there. You can't keep tossing all kinds of Christian outreaches and expect to have the world show up. The world is going to show up when you reach them where they're at. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was about to go out. But no. Got to read myself back. Oh, Jesus. Okay, listen. I say all of that to say this. David should have been out there at war. He wouldn't have got tempted. Here's what took place. We all know he slept with her, sends her home. Okay, she gets pregnant, tries to cover up. Here's something that you may want to take note of. Is that righteous and unrighteous decisions in the heat of the moment will cause sexual sin. Now, righteous and unrighteous decisions in the heat of the moment, let's don't get it twisted, heat of the moment. Now, the heat of the moment isn't because you're married and there's something, oh, I can't, baby, because, you know, can't. Well, I'm talking about those that, you know, you shouldn't be in a room alone with. Or the car, you know, when you go down that road that's dark and you go park because you don't want anybody to see. Okay. Trying to tell you something. Don't put yourself in a position that's going to cause you to make an unrighteous decision at that moment, even though you're righteous. In the heat of the moment, you know how you get. Get the butterflies. Ay, but this is love. It's love because I've never felt this before. Yes, you did. Yeah, with the last three one-night stands that you had. Mm-hmm. Now, how about, oh, my God, I've never had this kind of, I've never had this feeling before. And you know, I had a vision. See, all of a sudden, the righteous become spiritual to spiritualize the very decision that they're about to make that is unrighteous. I felt the Holy Ghost tell me. Is it stirring some stuff up? You know, I don't know. Hey, all right now, all right. We're just going to tell. Well, we ain't going to say it here. But listen. We have all these emotions that are taking place in the heat of the moment, just like when we had Kenny G playing, all right? Lights went down low. You should never be in a place with an individual that you know there's some sort of interest and there ain't no ring on the finger. You should never be in that situation to begin with because all of a sudden you're going to get spiritual. I felt the Lord say, you're my wife. You're my wife. You're my husband. I felt the Lord say, so let's just consummate the deal right now and then we'll just get married later. You have just made an unrighteous decision, even though you're righteous, based upon your feeling. David made an unrighteous decision, even though he was righteous. Do you understand? In the heat of the moment. We've got to be careful. And don't try to spiritualize the thing like many of us do. Oh, but even though Bathsheba, she shouldn't have been there with David. And out of that lineage came Jesus. See, we try to rationalize the thing. We try to rationalize the thing. Don't even let me get real deep with you that she shouldn't even been married to Uriah the Hittite. She should have never been married to Uriah the Hittite. David already had concubines. Maybe she was supposed to be originally the concubine with David to begin with, but she made a decision that was based upon what she desired. It's not written. I know my Bible's different, but she should have never married outside of her people. God will do something to turn things around for you. And he's doing it for you. He's turning it around for you. And you're going to feel it and see it. Because in these past 2 months, you've been sensing that something is shifting and changing. And not only have you asked and desired of the good things of God for you, there is some change that has taken place because you do desire it. You're going to see that he's turned the thing that the enemy meant for evil, and he's going to turn it for your good. For your good. Blessings to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And God, you're a worshiper. Not only do you worship, but you enter in. And when you enter in, there is a release of revelation that comes to you. And that revelation is to be spoken about and to be released into the atmosphere, because God has gifted you with the gift of tongue to begin to speak to people and leaders, that you'll begin to influence them in the right direction. Stay in that place of worship and he'll begin to reveal to you what he has in this season of your life. I encourage you, man of God, go before him, boldly before him. And not only will you see the visions, but you'll be having understandings, and you will see the writing on the wall.